This is going to be a study on the scariest noises described in Scripture. The scariest noises described in Scripture. And first we're going to look at the noises of hell. Nothing bothers me more than hearing people scream in pain. These horror movies with people being tortured couldn't touch the horrors and sounds of hell. You will hear the sounds of people crying and begging in hell. Luke 16:24 says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It will be torment in itself to hear the sounds of people burning in a lake of fire. The Bible says hell enlarges itself and moves to meet you at your coming. Once it opens its mouth and swallows you, then you'll hear the flames. You may even hear the sounds of chains that are confining the angels in hell. The Bible says they are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. What horror it will be to hear a creature such as an angel scream in pain. Your soul is in hell and doesn't burn up and cease to exist. You'll be able to feel the pain and hear the sounds of hell without going unconscious or ceasing to exist. One day you will hear the sound of a big bang. And evolutionists think this world started with the big bang, but it actually ends with a big bang. You will be screaming in hell and you will hear this. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." The day of the Lord covers a long period of time because the Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is 1 day. At the end of the millennium, you will be called up to the great white throne judgment. And you will hear a voice like thunder calling you up out of hell, and you will find yourself standing on nothing. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." You will be floating around in the filthy rags of your own self-righteousness as Jesus Christ opens the book and judges you out of those things which are written in the book. You will look up and see a man clothed in white. His hair is white like wool, his eyes are as a flame of fire, and his feet like a refined brass. He will gaze at you in anger because you rejected him, the only payment for sin, the only begotten Son of God. You will hear a strong thundering voice say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 13:50 says, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 24:51, "And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's the noises you'll hear. There will be a lack of joyful noises in hell. You won't hear hymns. You won't hear birds chirping or children playing. You won't hear the sound of someone saying, "I love you." You'll only hear the screams of the damned. And now we're going to look at the noises in the presence of God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18 says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." It's a fearful thing to stand in the presence of God. The people in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18 stood afar off. The Lord's voice sounds like many waters. Water is powerful, but not as powerful as the voice of Almighty God. Psalms 93:4 says, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." 2 Samuel 22:14, "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice." At the rapture of the church, the lost on earth will hear a loud boom, and to them it will sound like thunder. If you look at John 12:29, it says, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him." If you want to see something strange, then look up on YouTube or on the internet, strange sounds heard around the world. All over the world, people are hearing something like a trumpet. Maybe the devil is conditioning people for when God's voice says, "Come up hither." His voice will sound like thunder to the lost world. Imagine being woke up out of bed by a loud booming sound and then rolling over to see your husband or your wife isn't there anymore. They were saved and raptured out. They left behind their clothes and flesh and blood because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you are in the presence of God and hear the noise of thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake, then you will realize how little you are. You are less than an ant compared to God. We look down at an ant and see how much more superior we are to them, but God is even more superior over us than we are to the little ants. If you look at Job 40 and verse 9, it says, "How hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him?" Psalms 104:7, "At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away." To the lost world, the sound of a rapture will be horrifying. The sounds of cars crashing, planes falling out of the sky, the cries of family members weeping over their babies. But to the child of God, it will be the best sound he's ever heard. Job 37:2-4, "Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard." And that's the rapture. When the voice of God is heard, when he says, "Come up hither," we will not stay on the earth. But now we're going to look at the horrors of the noises at the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you look at Isaiah 13, verses 4 through 5, it says, "The noise of a multitude is in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land." Jeremiah 25:31 says, "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord." Imagine being hiding in the dens and caves and rocks of the mountains and hearing men scream and beg for mercy, praying to the rocks to hide them from the face of Jesus Christ. They worship the creature and the creation more than the Creator. The rocks won't be able to help them. Their idols of silver and gold will be tossed to the bats because their idols can't help them. They will hear the sounds of supernatural horses of fire. They will hear the sounds of a threshing machine, the sounds of blood flowing through the streets, the sounds of a flame burning. Joel chapter 2 and verse 5, "Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array." Imagine the horror of being on the receiving end of such a bloody death. Jesus Christ in vengeance will go wailing and howling at the top of his lungs. He will have a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. Micah chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "Therefore I will howl, I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls." But not only is there scary noises at the second advent, the Bible also talks about the noises of wicked music. Maybe you can't remember, but back before your mind was so desensitized to sin, there was a certain kind of music that was frightening. I remember way back before I was saved as a young kid, I heard songs by Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, and these songs scared me. But as time went on and I listened to music more and more, I began to be desensitized to the music. It no longer scared me. But in the Bible, you will read about some wicked music. In Exodus, Moses is up on the mount. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He hears the sounds of singing and dancing and knows right away that the wickedness is taking place. And then when you get away with God for a long period of time and you go out in the world and you hear the sounds of wicked music, it bothers you a lot more than if you had been hearing it every day. And if you had been hearing it every day on purpose, like many people will have wicked music in their earphones all day long on purpose. But if you've got alone with God and read the Bible and prayed, and then you come back out into the world, stuff seems a lot more wicked and sinful. But Exodus 32, 17 through 18 says, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Moses showed no fear in rebuking these backslid children of Israel. But this music is a sound of rebellion. It's rebellion that can be heard with the ears. It is a scary thing to rebel against God. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And that's what most music today is rebellion. It is a scary thing that happened that day when the children of Israel got themselves a molten calf and began to worship it and dance to wicked music." Notice that in the Bible, many times wicked music is connected with worshiping idols. And what happened that day is so frightening that 3,000 men died because of it. Not only this, but in Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar commands everyone who hears a certain kind of music to bow down and worship a golden image. What a scary sound it would be for anyone who halfway feared God to hear that music. You either have to bow down in rebellion against God and worship the image, knowing you will face His wrath, or you will have to be killed for not worshiping the golden image. Ezekiel 28:13 talks about how Satan at one point had musical instruments made in his body, and that is why music can be a very scary and powerful thing. Music is a powerful thing that can take over your mind and lead you to a road of destruction. You can many times tell what kind of music a person listens to by seeing what clothes they are wearing. It influences you. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. But not only this, another scary sound in the Bible is the sound of hard preaching. Many times when a preacher gets up and tells you the truth from the Word of God, it can be scary. John the Baptist is a good example. In Mark 1:3, it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." I imagine John was a scary preacher to hear, especially if you weren't right with God. John wasn't talking sweet. It says he is a voice crying. So he is proclaiming loudly that people should get right with God. Ezekiel would get a word from God, and he would preach a message about hellfire. And then people that heard him would resemble many people today. They weren't scared because they thought it was a parable. In Ezekiel 20 and verse 49, it says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables?" Many times a people won't be scared of the preaching because they have seen so many horror movies that hell doesn't even scare them. They seem to think it is make-believe. For example, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preaches 120 years about a coming flood. Nobody was scared and no one took him seriously. It's a scary thing when men aren't shook up by hard preaching. I think one reason they weren't shook up by the preaching of Noah was because the Bible says, "In the days of Noah, the earth was filled with violence." These people had their minds desensitized to violence. It also says the imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. Their mind was so desensitized to sin, and they were so deceived that they probably didn't even believe hell was real. But Noah preached for 120 years of a coming flood, and only 8 people got in the ark, and he probably had to drag them into the ark. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It is an evil thing to stay in your unbelief about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible talks about saving people with fear. It says in the book of Jude, and others saved by fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Sometimes you have to talk about scary things to open someone's eyes to get them to realize they need to be saved. The Bible says about Noah that he was moved by fear to build the ark. Sometimes people have to be moved by fear to make a choice about Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He is the Son of God and God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, meaning He was God revealed in flesh. He lived a sinless life, and when He was 33 years old, He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And the only way out of hell is to accept for your payment what He did on the cross. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, and it tells us how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you want to be saved, then you need to believe that gospel. If you want to be lost and go to hell, then you should reject that gospel. But the reason you need a Savior is because you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. But God died for sinners. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. The Bible says, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you want to be saved, then come to Jesus Christ as a guilty sinner and rely on Him as your payment. Don't go to hell because of pride or because of what people are going to think if you get saved. The best decision you can make today is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.